Okay.
Good morning. I want to say, first of all, I've had a lot of time to think. I've been sitting right there thinking for a long time. And the first thing I want to say is thank you to all of our brethren. Thank you, Mike, for that song. I watched you walk across and I was thinking, man, I'm glad Mike's about to sing. Thank you, Brother Donnie. And this congregation, you have been so good to Kingsport. Supported us and loved us. And all around the room, I see the congregations. They tend to sit together. And I love you all. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. I want to have a word of prayer before we begin. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, one more time before we open up Your holy word. And I pray, Lord, if it be Thy will, that You would let us look into this with sincerity and with fear, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would allow us to leave this world for just a minute, the cares of getting here, finding a seat, getting ready. Lord, make us ready to hear. Would You make me ready to hear, Lord? I pray that there are two or three gathered here in Your name, and Lord, I pray that I'm one of them. Please, dear Lord, if it be Thy will, send Your Spirit to us. Please bless Your word to us, Lord, and have mercy on us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We are not promised tomorrow. And I didn't know that very well when I was younger. I didn't think about that too much. But we are not promised tomorrow. None of us. May God convince us of that. This life is short. And I haven't been in it that long. But I can tell you it's short. And it's frail. And when it's over, we're going to go meet God. We're going to have to stand before God. We are not promised tomorrow. So do you know what I need today? I need Jesus Christ. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all I need. You know that's all I need? I need a union with Him. That's all I need. When I stand before my God, I need to be standing in Him. That's all I need. That's all I need. I need to be in Christ. If I'm going to have any hope of not suffering God's wrath for my sin, the sin that I commit right now, if I'm going to have any hope of not suffering His punishment, I need Him. I need Christ. I need a union with Him. Well, I want to show you my hope. This is my hope. And I hope and pray that this really is my hope. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Is that not me and you as we are born into this world? Strangers, having no hope and without God. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Is that union or what? That's union. That right there said that I died with Him. In Him. It said I rose with Him. In Him. And that says I live with Him. And He lives in me. I live in Him and He lives in me. That is union. Now Ephesians chapter 1 says that God chose some sinners to be in this union with Christ. Look at chapter 1 verse 4. Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Every sinner that God chose to be in this union with Christ, God says they're in love. And we are, aren't we? Our Lord said, Jacob have I loved. What do you think His heart meant when He said that? Jacob has no idea, I can tell you that. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Solomon wrote, Thou hast ravished my heart. Look at John 11 with me. John 11 verse 1 says, Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. All who are in this union with Christ are in love. They're in love. To what degree is this love? To what degree is this union? Go with me over to John chapter 3. John 3, verse 29 says, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. This is a union between a husband and a wife. That's what this is. It really is a true union. And it really is true love. It really is true love. Turn with me over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 9 says, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I love that word. That's even more special than bride to me. The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You know what Revelation 4 says the one who sits on the throne looks like? A jasper stone, clear as crystal. She looks just like he does. Look at Revelation 22. Verse 17 says, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And we do, don't we? Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Paul wrote, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That is union. That is union. Now those of us who have entered into the union of marriage, we all have our own story to tell. That story of how our union came about. And every soul that has been united to Christ has a story to tell. The story of how their union came about. And interestingly enough, every soul that has been united to Christ has the exact same story. Every one of them. I want to show it to you. Go with me to Genesis 24. This is a love story from the bride's point of view. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Verse 9 says, And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. The first thing that happened in this union was a covenant was made. Before the bride ever came into the picture, a covenant was made. The father purposed to choose a bride for his son. And this is the amazing part. He said, this bride is not going to come from Canaan. That's the promised land. That's the land flowing with milk and honey. God the Father did not choose a bride for His Son from the promised land. From glory itself. He could have made anything the bride of Christ. Angels. He could have created a sinless being that never left heaven. A perfect bride for His perfect Son. But He said, she's not going to come from here. She's going to come from the land of idolatry. Ur of the Chaldees. You're going to go down to Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham represents the Father, and his servant represents the Spirit. And the Spirit is about to go call a bride for the Son. Verse 10 says, And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. This servant went straight to the well. And this word is the well. When we're dying of thirst, and when we need refreshing, we come to God's Word, don't we? And by His mercy and by His grace, we draw out living water. And it is. It feeds my soul. Living water. This servant is going to meet the bride of the Son at the well. This is where they're going to meet. And he's going to meet a particular bride. A very particular bride. Verse 12 says, And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. This is what our Lord said about His bride. He said, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Verse 22 says, and it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, a half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Faith, hope, love. Verse 23. And said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. So this servant came to Rebekah's house. Verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. He said, I am here for one purpose only. And that's to tell you about the Son. That's the only reason I'm here. To tell you about the Son. Verse 37 says, and my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then in the next few verses, that servant goes on to reveal everything that had already happened to him. He told him about this covenant that was made. And he told him about this predestination that brought him and Rebekah to the same well. He told him about irresistible grace. He told him about the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. He told him everything that had already happened. Verse 48. He said, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold. He brought forth the unsearchable riches of Christ to them. Verse 53 says, and raiment. He put a robe on her. What do you think that robe was? That is the righteousness of Christ. The blood of the Lamb. Verse 53, the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. And he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. That means 1 year. At the least 10 months. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Now a confession is about to be made. She's heard about a man who is the son of the highest. And he's the heir of all things. She's been given the gifts and the calling of God. She's already been given a robe of righteousness to wear. She's heard about him. She's seen a glimpse of him with eyes of faith, whatever that servant has been pleased to reveal. But she hasn't yet seen him with her own two physical eyes. So everything she's seen so far is as though it's through a glass darkly. Verse 57 says, and they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Yes, I will. Whom having not seen, she loves. She already loves him. Is this your story? This is mine. Rebecca, what do you confess? I will go. I confess his name. I want to be his bride. I really do. I want his name to be my name. Wherever he lodges, that's where I want to lodge. I want his people to be my people. I confess that he is God, and I want him to be my God. Verse 58 says, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now at that point right there, at that verse right there, this is where we are in our journey. This is where we are in our own story. Right here. We are in the journey. And right now we are traveling through the land. And God's Holy Spirit is leading us along life's way. And I've always loved the thought of this. But the distance from Ur to Canaan is about 550 miles in a straight line. And they didn't travel in a straight line. They had to follow the Euphrates River. So it's estimated that they traveled between 800 and 900 miles on the back of a camel. That took a while, didn't it? That took a long time. That seemed like a long time. All along this way, you know, that Rebekah has got to be asking this servant, "What's Isaac like? Would you mind telling me about Isaac? Would you tell me about him again? I know you just told me. Would you mind telling me again?" Now, what all did you say about him again? And if this servant would have started telling her about the materials that the streets were made out of in Canaan, or the newest mansions that had just been built in Canaan, Rebekah would have said, "I don't care about any of that stuff. Tell me about Isaac. I just want to hear about him. That's it. I just want to hear about him. Tell me one more time. I need to hear it one more time. I need to hear it one more time." So this servant, being a faithful servant of his master, what do you think he did? He glorified Isaac. He told her that Isaac was the promised son. He said, "Rebekah, your husband is the promised one sent from God. All kindreds of the earth are going to be blessed by God through Isaac." God said, if anybody's going to be called, if anybody's going to be blessed, it's going to be through Isaac. He is God blessed forever. She said, "Could you please tell me some more? Tell me about his character. What about his character?" "Oh," he said, "you've never met a man like this man. He loves his father, and his father loves him. He is a faithful and obedient man. All of the word and the will of his father, he obeys. He obeyed even to the point of death." There came a time when the father had to kill his own son, Rebekah. And not only did Isaac not rebel, not only did he not rebel, but he carried his own wood to his own sacrifice. The father said, "Son, you must be the sacrifice." And Isaac willingly crawled up on that altar and he said, "Not my will, thine be done." Because of that, Rebekah, because he made himself an offering for sin, his father hath highly exalted him. And in Abraham's seed, he's given Isaac a name which is above every name. And he's placed in his hands all things. Isaac is appointed heir of all things. And Rebekah, in your union to him, because of this union with him, you are going to also be freely given all things. You know what Rebekah said? "Why me? What did I ever do to deserve this?" That servant said, "Nothing. You didn't do anything. It was all done for you. It was all given to you by my master. All glory, all honor, all praise goes to my master. Every bit of it." Now verse 61. And Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way, and Isaac came. Aren't you waiting for that?
Yes.
And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." There he is, in all his glory. He said, "I told you so." And she said, "You didn't tell me the half of it." The half was not told. I could never have imagined his beauty. "Do you mean that my beloved is mine and I am his? I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy of him." The end of verse 65 says, "Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What a union. Is that not the best news you've ever heard?
Yes.
It is to me.
Yes.
Behold what manner of love.
Yes.
That Christ would leave His Father and come down here to this cesspool of sin to cleave unto His wife.
Yes.
That they too should be one flesh. Behold, the Bridegroom cometh. He's coming. All right, I hope the Lord bless that.
Man, I enjoyed that. That was, oh, that's wonderful.